So these are the columns
okay.
And these are the only, these are only the file systems.
Okay.
So this BPFS is for the Microsoft one. This SCMFS. It's for the publishing 11 in
Texas A&M.
Yes.
Mm.
And this PMFS and AV. I actually didn't read it. Read it completely. This is by the same group as NemoScience.
Okay.
That is close.
Yeah.
So I keep this columns of rows, properties, namespace management, metadata structure, metadata consistency, memory management, recovery, durable operations.
Hardware modification.
Hardware modification, yes. And ordering. So for
what does ordering mean?
How the ordering is maintained.
Hmm.
The instructions are.
Remind me, what is the goal of this table?
This is to compare the different tasks, different solutions that already is proposed,
mm-hmm.
to differentiate with our approach.
Hmm. Okay, so mainly like a related work table?
Yes.
And not a motivation table?
Also motivation. Sorry. To see the gaps.
So there are some of these entries on the leftmost column,
yes,
is not satisfied by some of the.
Yes, like the MMAP is not satisfied or MMAP functionality is not provided by BPFS and SCMFS, both of them.
Right. So shouldn't atomicity show up somewhere here?
Yeah, I found that, put that here. Metadata consistency. Mm-hmm. So BPFS provides short circuit serial paging and atomic writes of 8 bits.
So metadata consistency even file systems provide.
Yes.
But they don't provide atomicity of file operations.
Atomicity of operations. Okay.
Because remember what the title of the paper that you wrote down last time?
Yeah.
What was that?
The atomic MCP one?
No. For your paper. Remember you wrote it down in your book. You had a book at that time.
Yeah.
So in that book you wrote down the potential title for the paper.
Oh yeah. Register managing atomic MSync. Atomic PMSync.
So I mean, I thought we talked about all the interfaces being atomic.
Yes.
So it's not just about atomic PMSync, right?
Yeah, but I included this metadata consistency because
it's... No, I'm not saying that you shouldn't include that, but I'm saying that atomic, the idea of atomic operations, shouldn't that show up somewhere in this table?
Yes.
Because that's the main argument for the paper. If you want to use it for motivation and even related work,
okay.
It seems like it should be there.
No? Okay, yeah. BPFS and PMFS provides atomic operations.
All the operations are atomic?
There are updates to file system metadata or atomic. And BPFS has three...
But what about data operations? What about write? Is it atomic?
That's also... For read-write and... For read-write, BPFS supports atomicity.
Okay.
But they don't support MMAP.
Right.
And no support to MSync. SCMFS is different because it has this memory operations that BPFS doesn't provide. The zone-based MB-malloc, MB-free. So SCMFS provides this memory allocation functions.
Mm-hmm.
And PMFS doesn't provide that. I didn't fill up the PMFS one.
Right. I think it would be, first of all, I'm not entirely sure that this set of rows here is complete. So, for instance, atomicity is missing. The other thing that I'm not sure of is if all of these are, in fact, necessary.
No, I just wrote down everything.
No, it's just fine. I think all I'm saying is that these are the kind of questions you would need to think about next, besides filling out the table itself, right? is to see how you can simplify this table, retaining the important information, and not burdening the table with too much low-level detail. Right? I think that's the question I would be asking. I'm not saying that this is not the best way, but I'm just saying that those kind of questions should be in your mind as well.
So I have to simplify the table to show the important information.
Right. So for instance, the recovery, is it related to atomicity? And if it is, should they be grouped into one row? Right.
I think this is not actually important, metadata structure, because...
Because that's just an implementation.
Yes.
In terms of what the features of the systems are.
Yes.
I think here it's better to focus on the features of the system. I mean, what functionality that they provide. Right?
So I can remove the code.
And the hardware modification is significant enough. It's not a feature, but it's significant enough to include, because some solutions will only work for specific kinds of hardware.
So only...
I think this is a very good start. I'm just wondering... Besides this, you need to add your own system. You need to call your system, right? And you might need the NIMO sign.
Yeah, I actually wrote that.
And NV heaps also as columns.
Yes. I actually wrote that down, but...
And it's better to have... There may be a couple of others which we will be missing.
I actually found this one very recently.
The SEMFS,
yes,
yeah.
I didn't know it was so it's very similar to our zone-based allocation policy. They create a zone that we did before. They create a zone and then they...
The functionality is different or the same?
Almost same, because they use NV malloc that is allocating a page, and NV free that frees the page from the persistent memory. They similarly use the virtual system, virtual address space that we used.
Mm.
But the paper is not very well written, I should say, regarding to the, with respect to PMFS or BPFS, because the consistency and durability and atomicity are not discussed properly.
Mm.
They tell about the MFANs and CL flush, but they don't go deep into the
how they implement
this with respect to their structure, metadata structure, or the how they write to the.
There's one thing about a functionality that is claimed in a contribution, right, such as a CMFS.
Yes.
And this table is primarily about the claimed functionality. It's not a review of the paper. Right, so in this table, we can't say that there is not enough detail about the implementation.
Yeah, right.
So it's more of a list of functionality that is claimed. And the paper is already published. We can't do much about that.
Yes, long time ago. Published.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how I missed that one.
Actually, I knew about that paper. For some reason, I didn't connect it to your work.
I think it's not published in a... Fast or Usenix or
it's probably MSST, right?
It's HP, High Performance Computing and Simulation, HPC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it was not published in a very visible place.
And I'm yet to read the A paper. It's look complex.
Mm-hmm. So besides the NemoSim and NV heaps, what other words do you think need to be included here?
The other one that we have is soft PM. That is for if we include that for the PM leap, then we can include it. But it's not yet published. So
I mean, if you're talking about system level software, then do these two guys show up there?
No. That's why I only wrote the file systems. These are mostly like
this is a user space solution.
User space and so.
I thought the NV had some kernel, or it just uses some kernel support.
This uses the kernel support of the same interface as CMFS for getting the pages from.
I see. Okay. So this is a table of functionality. The other kinds of comparisons that I can think of are the type of implementation approach, and it's not significant enough to put it in a table, but we'll have to discuss it in the related work.
Okay.
But maybe we should start with this table first. And what do each of the cells? What do you plan to put in each of the cells? Just cross or tick or
for. No, I want to write this how they ensure metadata consistency. So there's they propose short circuit shadow paging, atomic in-place updates. So they have the epoch barriers. They propose these three things. SCMFS only propose MFENS plus CL flush. PMFS propose MFENS plus CL flush plus PM barrier. So.
But they also have a logging, right?
Yes, they have logging.
So you're actually talking about how the functionality is implemented?
Yes.
In the table itself. Okay, that table is going to be very dense.
Yeah.
Right? Which is fine. Maybe we can start from there. At least we'll have all the information.
Yes, if you have this table already, then I can really compare, okay, these are these are the novel things we have compared to in this functionality compared to others.
Yeah, in that sense, you should think about the rows and see if there is something that is novel in our system that we are not talking about in this table.
The atomicity property that we discussed, actually, BPFS also discussed the atomicity of its
operation. Of all the operations.
They support read, write, and the other one. But they support atomicity.
Okay. So that's another row I see here. And the recovery is... is separate than that. It is actually separate. Okay. Write that thing here. Atomic operations. So if you look at the book, your notes from last time, you'll find the title. It's not the same as what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. Okay, well, so that's good. So you're working on this table and you're working on the intro as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Daniel, how are things going with you?
Good. Last time we talked about trying to find the latencies and how they were implemented. It seems that...
This is for which work?
For PMAP and Hyperson. And it seems to be hard coded in. At first, I thought it might have been the firmware of PMAP, but that's just for implementing the CL flush and the PM barrier. The PM barrier has the just 100 nanoseconds, and they say that But the other, all the latencies seem to be changeable according to a script that Intel gives before running the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just software. The latencies are software. And that's about as far as I was able to gather from reading some of the other papers that also mentioned PMAP and Hypersync.
So software, do we know anything more than that? That it is simulated in software or emulated in software? How it is emulated? It's just like a loop that's spinning and looking at the clock, or do we
know?
We don't know yet.
No, just that it seems to be in microcode.
Microcode.
That's what they mentioned. In the firmware, essentially.
In the firmware?
Yeah.
So it's not, I thought you said software. Firmware, what kind of firmware is this?
No, sorry. I think the write barrier is in the firmware. But
yes.
The rest is, I think it's in the software because you're able to change that using the script that they give you.
Hmm.
But the implementation is all in the firmware. So, I mean, essentially, I don't see why we can't just use our own. If we were to write a hypersim, when it exits out the guest mode, just have it, I don't know, sleep, whatever, however long.
Hmm. Well, there are some details which, you know, are not obvious right away. For instance, you know, if you're simulating reads and read accesses and emulating read accesses to PCM, you cannot simply use the read latency of the PCM device. Because what if that data was in the cache? Then you should be seeing cache latencies.
Okay.
You see this? The detail here?
Right.
As opposed to a cache miss, in which case you need to emulate the PCM latency.
Okay.
So how would you do this?
Same for writes, right?
Writes, we'll get to writes in a second. Writes are different. But for reads, which is actually the simpler problem, and can be solved, I think. But if for reads, how would you do this?
You're just looking into the hypersim. So the hypersim is on a real machine. So they're not using. Are they using the same? The same physical machine, physical memory as a physical, So, when they want to read, the PM emulator wants to read, it goes to the, via the hypersim to the physical machine.
Yeah, I think so. But Daniel will be able to answer better.
PMAP divide has separates the RAM into the simulated NVM, and it leaves some regular RAM, which I'm sure is what Hypersim and most of the other machine, anything not simulated by NVM, uses. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I wasn't clear about what you're asking here.
I was asking if they use PMMAP goes to the physical memory.
When you say PMMAP goes to the physical, I don't know what that means.
PM emulator, I'm just trying to figure out what the PM emulator entity is. Does it contain the hypersim in itself, or
no.
It uses the hypersim somehow?
Well, I don't know either. Well, what is your understanding, Daniel?
I feel as if they're two different things. The hypersim is just, it's really a simple program that uses the hardware extensions for virtualization just for logging. It doesn't virtualize anything.
And then logging memory operations.
For replay.
Right. When, yes. And then any of the actual memory operations that get
executed,
then hits PMEP. Which really are two different parts of the whole YAAT. Eversim gets used first for the replay, I mean for the record, and then they do the replay section, which does the whole.
The Eversim gets used in both times, right? Both times, right?
No, I don't think so.
Even in the replay, you still have to simulate latencies.
In the replay? Yeah.
You have to simulate latency at all times. So if the Hypersync is involved in simulation of latency, then it gets used always.
I think what Daniel said is that Hypersync does not get involved in the emulation of latencies. It just records the memory accesses. It records which memory accesses are performed.
Yeah, I don't even think the full program has to run while they do the replay. They just want to see, okay, now they're asking for right here, record that. They don't even need to really...
Okay, so let's think about it a little bit more plainly and simply, right? Okay, I'm just simplifying the whole thing. The application executes on top of Hypersim, and Hypersim records all the memory accesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a set of memory accesses that you replay against first-in-memory emulator. It's possible that when you, even in the first phase, when you run the application, the first-in-memory emulator is there, emulating the PM latencies, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either.
So let's say that the first stage is just Hypersim, which records all the memory accesses of the memory trace. And then the second phase is, or a different independent activity is a replay of that memory trace, for which the PMP Persistent memory emulator will emulate the PM latency so that you can measure various things, right?
Sounds about.
So that's one way to simplify the discussion here. Atta, your question. Something which is not clear to you.
Yeah, so the PM emulator is there. I understand that Hypersim is not part of the PM emulator.
Yeah, it's two separate things.
Two separate
emulator things. Emulates latencies. Hypersim records memory operations.
So there has to be some way when the first time the PM the operations are run,
mm-hmm.
and Hypersim records the operations, that the PM emulator should has to introduce some latency when the persistent memory exists. But
mm-hmm.
Hypersim, for the first time, what I guess I get from Daniel that Hypersim records the only records the operations.
Yeah, because that's the only thing it can do. If you want to emulate latency, you need to bring in PMEP. I mean, I don't think we have to worry too much about how these two pieces of software work together, but let's assume that they can.
Yeah, I understand now, because the only reason Hypersim is used is to replay or record the memory addresses, access the
right.
memory addresses, and then replay in different combination.
Correct.
The PM emulator is just emulating the latencies.
Correct.
So they are not any way related to introduce the latency.
Correct. The last part was...
Hypersim is not involved in introducing the latency in PM emulator.
Because you said they...
So what we're trying to understand is how latencies are simulated.
Emulated. Emulation is when you get to run the real software.
Mm-hmm.
Simulation is when you make believe software. So you just do certain things that the software does to get to measure certain properties of the software, of the system. That's a simulation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to do real work with the simulation, typically. Whereas with the emulation, you also get to do real work. That's one way to think about this. Emulation also is the capability to replace the physical properties of the device, where you introduce real latencies, that are consistent with wall clock time. have a question.
Hmm.
So when are the memory accesses, that time for memory accesses set in the hardware, the firmware for any CPU or any?
Can you repeat your question again?
Is the latency for the memory accesses for different for RAM is set in the hardware or the firmware?
When you say set, what does it mean?
It's
programmed?
Yes.
Why would you need to program latency?
I think my question
should be, can change the value.
Can it be programmed in the hardware or firmware?
Can it be programmed?
Yes.
No.
Sure
it cannot be
that?
Programmed in hardware. No, because that's unnecessary extra logic that you don't need. You access memory, and based on the properties, which is the clock cycle of the device, clock cycle of the memory bus, data will get transferred. You cannot change that.
My understanding is that we don't know how it is implemented.
No, he's talking about real DRAM device.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just to understand how engineering would be.
Oh, I see. Because we don't know if they're changing.
No, I just want to answer his question so that we don't get off topic.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still in the... Okay.
Yeah, his question is very specific. It is, in a DRAM device, can you change latencies? And I'm saying that you cannot. You build a very custom DRAM to be able to do something like that. Which is possible that you can do with PCM. I don't think they do that either. Right? With the real PCM, it's just unnecessary overhead.
No, I was thinking more like changing the framework, the firmware of the CPU to simulate the latency.
I think that's too much, because the whole system is not... is not so minutely programmable. It's, first of all, it's a highly complicated system, right? I mean, it goes through years and years of testing before a chip is produced. And it'll be very hard for me to believe that you can control latencies at that granularity in the hardware itself. Okay? Using
so how
hardware.
Do you think it's implemented?
Software.
That's
what you were also saying, right? Which is that the latency emulation is the PMF is software emulation.
How do you know this?
As far as I remember,
you can change it via script.
That doesn't mean that it's been done in software.
True.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I believe. I mean,
okay, so that doesn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't believe that they have the ability to change the latencies, because they have they don't have the real device, by the way.
Well, it has to be only in that machine.
Hmm.
Why is that? There's something special about the machine, because if it's just pure software, then it could be used. You could use any other machine that has the same physical characteristics.
They could, but they're not providing access. I don't know how many such machines they have.
The thing is that not even UFEN Group have one of those machines.
Yeah.
To run their experiments, they have to go to the same machine. That's why I'm inclined to believe that there is something specific about the hardware.
So I remember that the submitted paper to the first, they wrote about custom machine that
does what?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you need custom machine to implement the PM write barrier.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the customization is because you get to do the PM write barrier on that machine, for instance. But the latency, there are two separate things here going on here. One is the PM write barrier implementation, which is not available.
Which by itself doesn't give you much.
Yeah, but it does provide you with the ability to write things persistently to emulated persistent memory.
No, right? Because you still don't get to experience the latencies.
Huh?
You still don't get to experience the latencies.
It's not enough, but it's required.
Yes, it's required for correctness.
Yes, that's why... If there's only one machine that has that capability, you cannot use any other machine, because it's required.
For
latency and bandwidth, PMFS modifies CPU and memory controller.
Oh, okay.
And it uses software to emulate data persistent costs. There's
cost.
Online. It's,
what does that cost?
Nothing about that. It only says data persistence costs.
I don't think that is part of the typical PMFS.
No, it's the PMEP, the emulator.
So the PMFS code doesn't include that, or
no. PMFS is only the file system.
Right. Well, it's not really just the file system, right? Because the PMFS code is the entire kernel. You get the entire kernel.
Yeah. But it should not be the same kernel as the PMAP.
I think it has to use PMAP.
So when you get the PMFS code, it's the whole kernel that you get. It's a modified kernel.
Hmm. But you don't get the source.
You get the source, yes.
Yeah.
But
okay.
That source doesn't have the logic for the simulation of the latencies.
Mm-hmm.
You get PMFS that uses DRAM, no simulation. It goes as fast as it can.
Okay.
So there is something else that they are not sharing with the rest of the world that has the logic for the simulation. Emulation of the latency.
Yes, emulation of the latency, which we don't know is pure software or hardware, but it seems like there's something there which says it's hardware and another thing that says it's software.
Mm.
Okay, so it's a contradictory information in what he just read.
It's not only different. They use the firmware not only to implement the just the write barrier, but also the CL flush and the fences.
Okay.
So that's what the firmware is for.
Okay.
I don't think it's.
But there is one part of it which says latency and bandwidth. Can you read that again?
It says PMAP emulates NVMe read latency, read and write bandwidth, and data persistent costs.
Hmm.
For latency and bandwidth, PMAP modifies CPU and memory controller. It uses software to emulate data persistence costs. Data persistent costs.
So it seems like you're right, which is that at least in one part, I don't know what they mean by cost, by the way. To me, that's not clear.
They didn't mention it separately.
What is it? Data persistence cost. No idea what that is. But if in the memory controller, maybe they have some way to program the memory controller to say if the physical memory address in this range is being accessed, then the latency is going to be different. And the memory controller, I can see how it, because it has the ability to buffer memory that was read, it can introduce latencies. I can see how that's possible at the memory controller. So I take back what I said earlier. It's not a question of changing the speed of data transfer. It's actually introducing that additional delay at the memory controller node, which is possible. So originally I was thinking, okay, you know, if you were to do it in hardware, how would you emulate the speed of transfer? But this actually doesn't do that. What it does is that it transfers at memory speed, but then adds a delay to keep the data that was read in the memory controller until the appropriate time.
And
before
way,
forwarding it to the...
And that way you experience a rival latency for database already in the cache.
Yeah. What do you mean?
But the memory controller, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. It's after the cache.
After the cache, yes.
So cache accesses don't get affected.
Yes.
So that's a, obviously you need to be Intel to do, or AMD to do one of those things. And I can see why you really need to do this to make it work, to make the emulation work, to actually change at the hardware level. Because, I mean, at the software level, it's way more challenging, and I was thinking about this earlier. At the software level, the real challenge is how do you differentiate between cache and memory axes, burst and memory axes? Because for cache axes, you want cache latencies, and for burst and memory axes, you want the burst and memory latency that you're trying to emulate. So one way I was thinking is that, well, you read and measure the latency. And the if the measure of latency is equivalent to cache latency, then you don't modify it. But if the measure of latency is higher than cache latency and equivalent to DRAM latency, then you add an additional latency to make it equal to PCM latency instead.
Where would you introduce that logic?
You would need to introduce that logic at the hypersim layer. And every memory access will need to be intercepted.
Can you have that just in the regular kernel?
You cannot because a lot of the memory axes don't go through the kernel at all. So you need another layer of hypervisor sitting below every memory access. And what about the memory axes of the kernel itself? For those, you could possibly do it. But for that, you have to,
The kernel doesn't touch the region that is emulated.
Right. Okay, so let's say that it doesn't. Then it's just application memory axes that need to be modified. And for that, you need to have a hypervisor-like situation.
Actually, no. I'll take that back because DMFS has to...
Mm-hmm. Store its persistent metadata in the persistent memory. Yeah, nevertheless, you still have the problem of emulating persistent memory latencies for application axes. And that's why they have this hypersync.
When you took a look at the script, do you remember which commands they used to, what's in the script, what gets executed in that script?
I couldn't look at the script. It's on the Intel machine.
Oh, right, we have access to that machine. Do we have time to take a look at the script?
I don't know. I think it'll take some time, but why don't you investigate that later? Yeah?
Okay.
Maybe it would be good to find out what that script does, if it is available. I mean, the script source may not be available to us.
Yeah, it's a bash script.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah,
but it's possible that
Unix
is not available to us, right? So then.
But I want to know if it's a custom tool that they did or some standard tool.
Good idea. I think that's certainly worth looking into.
Do we have any feedback about the email with the data that we sent?
I haven't even sent it out.
Okay.
Oh my god. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. There's been too many things going on. That's like taking all my attention. And I won't bother you guys with it. What was I going to say? For reads, you could do something like that, but even that is a significant effort because even the code to check if your latency is cache latency or not introduces additional latency. No. And at best, it could be cache. A few cache multiple times cache latency because you need to access all the code that executes those instructions to find out if your access latency is cache latency. So it's kind of crazy, right? Because the amount of overhead will be significant.
That's like measuring the temperature of a drop of water with a thermometer.
Yeah, the thermometer changes the temperature.
Of the water.
Yeah, so... exactly, that's a good analogy. I should keep that in mind. But it's... I think it's a challenging project. I don't think it's possible. And I see now why the memory controller level, I mean the hardware level solution is required to add the latency. Because you can't really do it in any meaningful way in software.
And
for writes, it's completely crazy, right? How do you know if for a write you need to wait for an eviction before you can write stuff into the cache? If you need to simulate the whole write back policy of the cache, you need to know how. It's too complicated. So I guess they did what was probably the only reasonable way to do it, which is add the latency at the memory controller level, because then they don't have to touch anything else. Unfortunately, we can't do that.
They build a hardware too.
Yeah. So then it makes sense that that machine
is special.
Is special. Not just from a PM write barrier standpoint, but also latency emulation standpoint.
That's bad.
Can we buy one of this?
One of those? It probably costs like 500,000.
Like maybe 5 million. NVM DIMMs that can...
Oh, the NVM DIMMs.
Like,
but the NVM DIMMs, you mean for the battery-backed DRAM?
Yes.
But the battery-backed DRAM don't have the same properties as PCM. They are the properties of DRAM. They might as well be then DRAM. You don't have to worry about battery backing it.
There's no like configurable DRAM.
That's what he was asking me first. That's the first question he asked. Can we program the latencies on a DRAM? I guess you can, because that's what the Intel guys did. You cannot configure the latency of accessing DRAM, but you can introduce additional latency at the memory controller layer, for instance. I guess you get to that. That makes sense. It's amazing what they did. Because that's the... I mean, if you were to modify hardware, that would be the right place to do it. And the way they did that. Although I'm now concerned about how much buffered the memory controller has.
How much buffer?
Yeah, how much buffer the memory controller has. Because you need to buffer stuff in there for a period of time. As opposed to earlier, you would read and you can simply discard it because it would go into the cache right away. But now it has to stay there for a while. So it's not trivial to implement, but I guess it can be done.
Well, it's effectively reducing the throughput of the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me. So convenient, and you have no competition doing that work. You're the only one who can do that.
Yes. True.
Well, I guess if you're...
Unless you build a PCM device, and then you don't have to do that.
Yeah, but there are very few people, including Ben, who can build a PCM device.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
It makes me wonder if this is feasible for us to do. We will always be at least one step behind.
Well, at least we are able to use the stuff that they're building. It's better than not being able to do that. Eventually, when we get the region system built, we could potentially talk them into running our kernel.
On top of PMAP, the emulator.
On top of PMAP. Right. I don't know. I mean, that would require integrating our kernel with theirs. That's why it's even more important for it to be a module. So you fixed all the bugs in the code, right?
Yes.
Were you able to run all the new machine, the experiments on the new machine?
Yes, and the experiments on the new machine.
So you have all the data?
Do you think it would make sense if I spent some time with you working on that?
Yeah, I actually need to move to the module, so work together to...
I think that's an important task, so that you can speed up your development. And better to do it earlier than later, because later will mean much more code to be moved into the module.
But there's a... If you move, log into Meritia and to change the default kernel.
Log into what?
The Meritarian.
Right.
You have to change... If you want to work on your PMFS, the PMLib.
No, I can work on that in any machine. Okay. I don't require that machine.
Because I'm running my kernel on that one.
Okay. So Daniel, I think we need to figure out what you should do next. I think emulating latencies is not straightforward. I'm curious to see what the Nemosyne guys did. Because they apparently did emulate the latency somehow. Right?
Were you reading the MSYNC's paper?
Yes.
They talk about the shortcomings of their simulation in that paper too.
That's what I read now.
Was that was not that part specifically, right?
You didn't read what was the shortcomings of the Nemosyne paper.
No.
You read something else.
No, I read the paper, MSYNC's paper, about the PMAP simulator.
Right.
Okay.
In that paper, in the related work session, they talk about the shortcomings of that way of simulating. I don't remember the details, but I do know that they talk about it.
Okay.
I think I looked at it. I don't think they mentioned too much, though.
No, it's just a little bit. It's like a sentence or two saying, this is why this is not ideal.
Yeah.
Is that Nemosyne doesn't simulate reads just writes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it doesn't even mention that.
Well, if writes is a harder problem by looking at it to figure out reads.
What's that?
If simulating writes is the harder problem, maybe by looking at it we can figure out reads.
Is it open source, Nemosyne?
I guess
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember looking at the website,
so
they provide sources.
Okay, let's look at that. Let's do that. Okay. Right. So we are almost out of time. Leo, do you want to tell us quickly if you have any updates?
No, I started working on the closure, but I don't have anything to show yet. So. It requires a little bit of infrastructure to get it.
I think that it would be good if Atha and you work together on some aspects of your work and some aspects of his work.
I think that would be beneficial for both
of
us.
And if you want, you can actually work together on both these projects, where you take the lead on your project and he takes the lead on his project. But then, you know, that would mean some exchange of spending time exchanging knowledge in the initial days.
I think it would make sense. Do you think we can benefit from that?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And your project is still in a fairly early stage, right?
Yeah.
You're still working on the basic APIs.
Yes. I just fix it.
So it's a good moment for me to jump in there.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a bit of it is implemented from what I understand, including the PMSync, right?
Yes.
But whether the memory ordering and everything is
that's not
done, I think that's where Leo's help can actually help you a lot. You may have a lot more learning to do. I mean, both of you will have learning to do if you get involved in each other's work. But I think it's probably worth doing.
Okay.
Why don't we do that?
And you can also, you know, maybe you can spend 1 to 2 days working with Lee on his project and vice versa. Maybe 1 day. 1 day.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so your next immediate task would be closure?
I don't have anything else in my mind.
Okay.
I was expecting to get some feedback from your internal presentation, but we haven't gotten it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, that's... the bottleneck is on my side. I should have pushed that out earlier. Okay.
We wanted to know if it was relevant. We have some limitations on our current implementation, like memory allocations are very small.
Yeah.
It has to be smaller than one page. And
it's not that they are very small, by the way. Right? I mean, smaller than one page is not very small.
It depends on the application.
Yeah, but I don't think you should downplay your contribution like that.
Oh, okay. Well, we wanted to get from them feedback saying, is that relevant or not?
Yeah.
We still don't have implemented anything, the logic for the late. And I didn't do that because I didn't need that to get initial numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Let me actually spend the next last 5 minutes of our hour to send out that email.
Okay.
I'll see you guys later.